Got a brief text from Andrew and Helen, which received just as we were walking out the door, sending greetings here, and I'll just read it out to you. Please pass on our Christmas greetings and love to all at Trinity. So that's from Andrew and Helen. So I've done that. Right, we're going to have we said, we'll have a very short sermon this morning, and we're taking it from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through to 20. And it's the account of the shepherds and the angels. So just, if you got that, turn it up, and I'll read it out. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful Christmas message, and we thank you in particular for this amazing way that you appeared to these humble shepherds keeping their flocks at night, and what a glorious and wonderful scene that must have been. But this event, the event of history, had occurred. And Lord, we thank you. We pray your blessing on our time as we consider your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know if you were woken up this morning, but we were woken up by our grandchildren very excited. Not at the crack of dawn, which I'd expected, but a little later. And they had piles of presents that they were wanting to open. And I know what you're thinking, oh, that Christmas thing again, the tinsel, the commercialism. But I was thinking about Lord, isn't this an expression of you? Giving, gift giving is an attribute of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So we're going to consider this morning. Jenny and I didn't have a present this morning because we were very, not negligent, but extravagant, and we actually bought our Christmas present in, was it May? I think it was, or July, might have been. We bought tickets to go and see the Andre Roux concert down in the arena downtown. And for those of you don't, probably a number of you don't know who Andre Roux is, but that's a very large traveling full concert that plays Strauss and waltzes. Oh, boring. But absolutely wonderful experience we had. We were just entranced by the whole thing. We were sitting there, special seats that Jen had, and suddenly this music, there was nobody on stage, and suddenly this music bounced out, and the orchestra walked onto the stage, walked up the whole length of the arena, playing their violins and blowing whatever they blow, playing music as they went onto the stage, and wonderful costumes, and it was an evening that we won't forget in a long time. But we are not shepherds, and there were shepherds were out living out in the fields nearby. And I use that illustration because it's possibly the closest we're going to get this side of heaven to what the shepherds experienced. But the shepherds were a despised grouping of people in this day, in the time of Christ. And David's time, it may have been a bit different, but shepherds were not to be trusted. They were vagrants, and they were not allowed in the synagogues because they didn't keep the Sabbath properly. They were not allowed to testify in courts of law because they were generally regarded as liars and untrustworthy people. And to these people, God chose to send an angel. This story that we're reading here is a story of contrast. We have, in one instance, we have the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, born in this humble stall where the cattle are, and I imagine it had an odor of cattle and smell and straw, possibly drafty, and in this manger, which was the feed stall for the cattle, Jesus is laid wrapped in cloths in a manger. The humility that the Son of God himself could come down in such poor and humble circumstances. Certainly circumstances that Joseph and Mary didn't choose, but Caesar back in Rome had chosen that they should be in Bethlehem on that day to be counted for the census. They were obliged to go there, and that was the best accommodation they could get at the time. So here we have the Son of God born in humble circumstances. We have these people that were classed with lepers and the blind, despised people, and God chooses those people to send one of the most glorious of his beings with a great message. And we know he was glorious because it said the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the reaction of the shepherds was terror. They were absolutely scared. And I believe if you're confronted with such holiness, you and I would be in a like manner, whether we were shepherds or not. We would be terrified. And the grace of God comes out, and the angel, probably the angel Gabriel, says, "Do not be afraid." Words of grace, words of comfort to these shaking shepherds. And why? Because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news of great joy. We say that quite readily because we're used to singing the hymns. But if we slow it down a bit and think about it, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. And this is the good news. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's the great news of the good news of great joy. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That sentence is just loaded. And it's loaded with the town of David. From the Davidic line would come a royal son, a descendant from David. Through his parents, he was descended from David. The hope, the glimmer of hope that Israel had, the oppressed nation occupied by the Romans, the hope was that the line of David would be restored, the kingdom would be restored. But it's not only that, a savior, one that would deliver his people from death and destruction. The people of this world, he came to save mankind, to save us. And what to save us from? To save us from sin, to save us from Satan, and to save us from the righteous wrath of God. A Savior. And he's not only that. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And finally, the angel gives him the title, the Lord. Lord over all, King of kings and Lord of lords. The prophet Isaiah, predicting this very event, Isaiah 9, 6 through to 7, said, "For unto us a child is born." That's what had happened. A child is born. "To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who was born in some smelly old straw, lying wrapped in some cloths in a manger there in Bethlehem. Poor circumstances. God, in a unique way, reaching out to the poor people in typical fashion, as Jesus did. He reached out and focused on the deprived, the poor, the disadvantaged. And that is signal here. This is a signal that that's what God's going to do. He's reaching out to the poor and the needy. But this occasion cannot get by. It's almost as though these angels are bursting to come out of heaven to celebrate with mankind, who they've been celebrating with for eternity. The one that they've been glorifying here, lying in a manger. And it's almost as though they're bursting out of heaven. God allows them to come out and sing these praises. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We talked about grace a little bit earlier, but isn't this wonderful? Glory to God, they sing, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. God's favor rested on mankind as he sent his only Son, the second person of the Trinity, to lie in that manger. What a wonderful experience for the shepherds. I can't describe it because I can't imagine what it would be like. We get a little hint of it. We know that the glory of the Lord shone about them. It would have been bright. The singing would have been absolutely magnificent. The voices would have been glorious. The excitement and joy they exuded, we couldn't explain, but it would be just a magnificent scene there in the sky, a scene that's contrast to the humble circumstances, but a scene that was totally appropriate to announce that God had come down to man. These glorious beings singing and praising the Lord. So the shepherds go off. They were told that this would happen. This is the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now that's the challenge. This is the sign. And the shepherds, caught up in all this, said, we've got to go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. And so they hurried down there. And exactly as the angel had said, they saw the child lying there in a manger wrapped in cloth. It confirmed to their heart what these magnificent creatures had portrayed to them was in fact real. There he was, Jesus, lying in a manger. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Just briefly in wrapping up, there's some interesting responses to this. We have the response of the shepherds, we have the response of the people that the shepherds talked to, and we have Mary's response. The shepherds were absolutely thrilled. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, which were just exactly as they'd been told. The response in their heart was an absolute surety that what they'd heard and what they'd seen was true, that this was the Messiah, that this was the Son of David, the descendant from David, the Christ, the Lord, and they were just caught up in it. They told all the people they could see. I imagine they were just yak, 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 yak. And it said all who heard about it were amazed. Now, I'd suggest to you amazement, it is an absolutely correct response to what these shepherds had seen. It doesn't necessarily mean saving faith. It may do. But certainly there was a response, an appropriate response of amazement. And then finally we have the response of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary treasured up all these things. She listened to what the shepherds said, that what they had seen and encountered, the things that the angels had said to the shepherd, they would have been repeated to Mary and Joseph. We saw this. this is what they said, and this is what we see. And it says that Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. She considered them. She reflected upon them. I would suggest that some of these words that we have here in Scripture are a result of what Mary had pondered and told to the writers of Scripture. And that's a third response, that some people, as they reflect and think about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, they ponder them in their heart, and they come to a position of truth and say, these words are true. Like the shepherds that came to that position very quickly, also Mary, as she pondered them up, became convinced that this boy, this son lying in a manger, was in fact the Son of God, the Savior who came to save his people from their sins. So let me leave this here with you. I did say I'd be short. This is good news of great joy that we celebrate here today in New Zealand. Good news of great joy that Jesus has come and he has died for our sins. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing event that happened some 2,000 years ago, that you sent your Son, that he came into the world, the second person of the Trinity, to die for our sins, to save us from our sins. Lord, we thank you that you have saved us from our sins. Lord, I do pray if there are those here who are not sure if their sins have been forgiven, I pray, Lord, that you, like Mary, would help them to reflect and ponder on these things and consider them afresh and come to a saving knowledge of you, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.